Good morning and welcome to the Automation Morning Show for, let's see, why is it not showing the right display here? Good morning, folks. Hope you're having a great morning today. My name is Sean Tierney. This is the Automation Morning Show, and it is Tuesday morning, April 16th, 2024. It's 7:37 in the morning, and I just adjusting the camera, trying different things this morning. So I hope you're all doing great. I'm looking forward to an update from Kapow at 9 o'clock. We'll be recording a new podcast. You'll see that later in the month, but in any case, or maybe next month. But in any case, we do have a great podcast coming out this Wednesday, and we get a special for you next Wednesday. And we continue to reach out to vendors and invite them to come on the show. But in any case, let's get started with this show. And today we're going to take a look at, let's start with our first sponsor of the show that makes this possible. Actually, this is a placeholder. This is theautomationschool.com, and I want to call out this slide right here. Let me go back one. This is the application simulator that we created free for our students. Now, we paid a developer, we paid him to develop this for us based on something he was already doing, and I think it came out great. And this application simulator, let's see if we can go full screen here. This is based on our famous widget machine. And if you're involved, if you're enrolled in any of our PLC courses, it could be Siemens, it could be Control Logics, it could be Compact Logics, it could be the original PLC Basics. You get this application for free. You just have to fill out a form. And I've had some people who are enrolled through work and they're using their personal email address to fill in the form. Unfortunately, this is a license for the students, so it has to match your existing account, so you can't change the email. But in any case, we're giving this license away free to all of our students who are enrolled over at theautomationschool.com. I really think it came out great. I can actually go through my entire, first level one and two lesson plans. You know, I don't review hardware, but I can go through all the PLC programming with this because it was designed for us. So we named it the Widget Maker 3000. This is the PLC application simulator from the Automation School. So if you have submitted a request with the same email that you're enrolled in at theautomationschool.com, your coupons are going out to get your license, okay, your student license. I just had a couple come in yesterday that I did not process yet. I try to batch them each week, so don't worry if you don't see it in 3 or 4 days. I'm trying to batch them just because we got so much going on, so in any case, really wanted to share that with you this morning from theautomationschool.com. Now, over at the Automation Blog, they're sitting in for our second sponsor spot today. If you're a vendor and you like to sponsor our show, please let us know. But in any case, we are starting to produce our daily news snippets again. So you will have mini news stories coming up on the Automation Blog. These are not paid for. We just post what we think is the most important industrial automation news. I know most of the websites, almost everything you see on their sites is actually sponsored content. Not so, even though we do accept sponsored content, we do accept ads. Here at theautomationblog.com, we cover what we think is the most important. And even when we've had sponsors sponsoring this show in the past, we still covered all the news we thought was important. And even if it didn't include that company. So that's what we do. That's what we do. And we're not making millions doing it, but hopefully we're providing you with a great service and keeping you up to speed on what's new and happening. From there, we go over to, and I thought this was really interesting. Well, now, I really don't typically cover these articles. And I know Julius has been helping me prepare for the show every day now. And but this one, I wanted to cover because I'm kind of hearing the same thing from everybody. And so I'd like to know if you guys are hearing this as well. So KUKA announced that they had a strong fiscal 2023, but 2024 is looking a little soft so far. So in any case, I'm hearing that from a lot of vendors. A lot of vendors are having sales and startup packs and, 50% off this or, trying to give away stuff to get people interested in. And so if you're seeing this too, I'd love to get your feedback. You can either use the TalkBack link to submit your feedback. But we also have a news link if you want to submit news. From there, we go over to Cole Morgan. Now, I did actually reach out to them this morning because I'm like, I've heard the name for the 34 plus years I've been in the industry, but I've never actually used their products. I'd love to get them on the show to give us a product, kind of like a product overview, like we do with Horner and Unitronics and all those great people. But in any case, this is about something called NDC Flex, Nancy David Charlie Flex. And this is the best of both worlds, they say, AGV or AMR, Why not use NDC Flex, which bridges the gap between the two? So I thought that was interesting. I read the article. I thought it was an interesting article. They don't really tell you much about what it is, hence why I reached out to them. So in any case, so let's go from there over to a new announcement. Now, this is a new announcement from Siemens. It really seems like it's really like a educational kind of awareness type of announcement. So what they do, and I thought this was very interesting, they explain how you can use fiber optics with Profinet and what the difference is between just using it maybe to get more distance between buildings or using it in an intrinsically safe or, you know, and I think the ATEX, IEC EX Zone 1 or 21. So I thought it was very interesting. If you're using or looking to use Profinet with any vendor, you may want to check this out because I thought it was very educational. From there, we go over to Schneider. They had a very interesting article about data as a service. And this isn't like, you know, the apps that sell you data on your phone. No, this is, you know, if you don't want to build the infrastructure in-house. And I know over the years, a lot of companies have built that infrastructure. They have their own data warehouse in their own facility. They have racks of servers and whatnot. But if you were maybe a smaller company or you're building a new building and you don't want that expense, you can actually have your data go to the cloud and then they'll provide you with analytics and reporting and all of that. We're seeing all the major vendors who do this for on-premise also now offering, it seems like they're all offering cloud versions of this. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I thought it was an interesting article myself. With that, I did check the mic levels before I got on, but if you're watching, I can see you guys watching. If my mic level is too hot or if it's too low, let me know in the chat. I do have the chat up. From there, let's go to our next story. And this is from OnLogic, and this is from the future. I love this. Every once in a while, when an article gets posted, it doesn't get posted with the right date. That happens, right? Nobody's perfect. And so when they come from the future, like this one is from, hey, wait a minute, this is from 2023, not 2024. I was duped. Usually I look at that first and say, so I'm wondering why this was so high up. In any case, it's still a good article. It's not from the future. It is from the past. But installing fanless computers, important do's and don'ts, even though it's an old article, and I was kind of duped myself into checking it out, it was pretty good. And it a lot of common sense in this article, too. This one talks about, you know, if you get a fanless computer, don't think it's a tank and it's like invincible, right? So install it in the right place, install it right side up, right? A lot of these things have to be installed so the fins are at the top so the heat goes up, right? Don't install, you know, observe the spacing. You know, not all these devices are zero spacing, like a lot of new VFDs and other products are. You know, also give it a dedicated power supply. If you're buying a 24-volt DC, you know, fanless computer, dedicate a separate power supply for it because, and they go into this, you know, if you have all kinds of solenoids and motors and stuff on that same supply, it's a nightmare, you know, relay contactors and whatnot. So even if they're small little relays, you know, they're going to interject some feedback into the line. So I thought it was very good. Don't put it like in sunlight, direct sunlight, things like that. So in any case, let's move on to today's sponsor, theautomationschool.com. Sitting in our product spotlight seat. And we already kind of talked about this, so I'm just going to go in and just talk about a pre-order for our unified HMIs. This is what I try to work on every single day, trying to get this course completed. There's only 3 lessons up right now. I have actually several canned that I have to go through and do the final edits and polish to. But in any case, this is on sale, 70% off. If you know anybody who needs to learn unified HMIs, this is the basic and comfort unified panels. Check this course out. You can even suggest lessons. Like if there's something you really would like to see, you can suggest those. I still have time to add those to the curriculum. And you can actually buy a voucher for somebody else. So you may say, all right, I'm going to need 3 people to learn this. So I'll buy the vouchers now while it's on sale. And then you can give those coupons to, you know, your employees as they're ready to start using the unified comfort panels or basic panels. But in any case, so from there we go over to, and I thought this was really cool. Baliff just added some new features to their a code reader with IO-Link. Now, we did have them on the show, and I'll show you that in a minute. But here are the new features. So they actually added the ability to control the outputs. So they were finding a lot of people wanted to put these in legacy applications, right? And so they wanted to be able to use the inputs to trigger the read. They also wanted to use outputs to trigger, you know, different things, right? So and I'll get into that in a moment. but you can see right here, allow a photo eye to trigger the code reader to read, and then allow the outputs to, you know, tell you if there was a no read or a code mismatch, or maybe if there was a good read, right? And so very cool that they were able to do that through firmware. And they also added a complete backup. So people wanted to say, look, I finally get this the right way. I want to back up everything on the sensor. So they added that feature. And then the teach button that's on the top, people were inadvertently hitting that during install or during, you know, trying to align it. And so like, we need to lock out the teach button because people are accidentally hitting it. And then there's a multiple code tool as well. So if you had to have the reader read multiple barcodes or TDE codes, you could set that up as well. So very cool. Now, if you want to know more about this product, right, check out our episode of the Automation Podcast 155, P155. We had Jack on, Frank on, and Frank Jakubek, and he did a great job. Very, very cool product. I actually reached out to him recently to see if he could come back on and give us an update. So in any case, check that out if you're looking for a 1D or 2D code reader. And with that, we go over to a product spotlight from Banner. And this is about their SIGL42 guard locking safety switches and, you know, correct ways to apply them. And talks about the product, its construction, and the benefits of a safety switch actuators. And I just thought it was very interesting. I really would like to get them on. I got to reach out to them. I say this like with every product, right? But I really would like to have them come on and tell us all about this product line and, you know, what's the best implementations, right? So a lot of times this is going to go into either a master control or a safety circuit or something else. These don't look like they're, well, they are safety switches. A lot of times safety switches are red or yellow. But in any case, I'd love to pick their brain on that as well because I've never deployed these interlocking switches myself because I've never had to. But in any case, from there, we go over to our featured guide for today. Today, we're featuring our S7-1500 guide. We got guides on Control Logix, Compact Logix, S7-1500, 1200, HMIs, SCADA, all kinds of stuff. They're all completely free over at theautomationblog.com. You just go to the guides menu and you'll see them right there. And in the S7-1500 guide list, we have over 40 different free articles and videos. From there, we go over to another new product. This one's from SMC, and this one is a stainless steel speed controller with one-touch fittings. Now, for those of you who are listening, this is the ASG series. Okay, next up, we have a new webinar coming up from the good folks over at Horner Automation. This one is for April 23rd, and it looks like, let me get a zoom in on this. It looks like it's 2 p.m. Eastern time. Okay, and this is initiate file transfers from the OCS touchscreen. So if you're using Horner Automation, you can actually initiate a file transfer right from the touchscreen. They're going to walk through how to do that in just about 7 days. From there, we also go to, I just wanted to throw this out here. They have some really cool stuff. And if you want to learn more about Horner Automation, check out podcast 186. We had Chuck on. Chuck's awesome. He does all their weekly live streams. And it was fun just learning all about what they can do. We also have Endress Hauser. They have a Endress Hauser. I don't know why I leave the and out. Endress Hauser, advancements in flow meter technology for life sciences. I know, especially up in this area, life sciences in the Northeast is pretty big, right? Less so than mining, although we have plenty of mines around. But and other, you know, we got lots of paper mills. A lot of people don't realize we have lots of paper mills in the Northeast too. But in any cases, life science is pretty big in this area. And if you want to know about advancements in flow meters, check out this webinar. It is on April 26th at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Okay, and all the links are over at automate.news. And from there, just a reminder, we did have Endress and Hauser on podcast 194 talking about radar level measurement and if 80 gigahertz is right for your application. I really enjoyed this. This was like food for the brain. And really enjoyed having Ashley on. I'd love to get her back on again to talk about other products, but really interesting one. Check that out if you're interested. From there, we go over to Cymatic PNCN. Let's see if I can say that again. Cymatic Profinet to CAN link firmware is updated. So if you have that PN/CAN device, you'll probably want to check out this firmware. We also have a new download from Siemens, the meantime between failures. A lot of vendors don't publish these. I know back in the day when I was working for a an automation vendor as a specialist, or their distributor as an authorized specialist. It was hard to get these. We'd have to reach out to the factory and go back and forth. And but this, they just put these right on their website, which is pretty cool. We also have a couple of downloads from the good folks over at Schneider's. And first is the EcoStruxure Operator Terminal Expert 3.5. This is the README. So if you want to know what's new in that version, check that out. They also have a manual. This one's like an online manual. I prefer the PDFs. So I didn't open up the online manual because it's kind of like, it's just like an index web page. But if you're using Operator Terminal Expert, check that out. And then just a reminder, we did have Schneider on back on podcast 176 to talk about the Harmony HMIs and IPCs. I do want to give a shout out to the folks over at ProFace. We had them back on to talk about ProFace, and they tagged us online, and we really appreciate that. So from there, we also have a manual from Schneider, and this is on their Altivar soft starters, the ATS-130 series. So if you want to check that out, I know it says March, but it was shown as one of the recent catalogs for April. Then we have some new products, manuals from Siemens. We got the operating instructions for the ET200SP open controller. It's 120 pages. And we also have, I thought this was interesting, especially since I'm filming a course on the WinCC Unified panels. This is configuring WinCC Unified runtime, PC runtime, as a, well, PC runtime I know of. I wonder if it runs on Linux. I don't know. WinCC Unified runtime as a system for Cymatic Unified AR. Because I'm a big early adopter of AR and VR. No, I don't have the Apple headset, but I have the original Oculus, the first three Oculuses. And yeah, very interested to see what they're doing there. And with that, just a reminder, if you don't know what's new with TIA Portal version 19, check out podcast 190. We had, I think this was John. We had John on. I'm going to be meeting with him later in the week to talk about new things. But in any case, John was on the show and he gave us a roundup of what's new in TIA Portal V19, which I will be using in that Unified Comfort panel. I get two images. So I get the 16. Actually, I think I have all the versions installed, 16, 17, 18, and 19, all installed on the same VM. So we'll be able to do both the old and the new in the course. Okay, so you can check that out. And then we have a new manual from Siemens on their motion control drives, Cinematics Converters for Single Axis Drives. This is about the G220, and this is dated April 2024. And next up from Rosemount, we have, or Emerson, we have a Rosemount 802 Wireless Multi-Discrete I/O Transmitter. Very cool. And we have some of their FlexSim products, their Flex US products. This is a data sheet or tech specification. And on the Rockwell side, we have a new, what do they call this? Is it a product portfolio? I forget. But in any case, it's a four-page color brochure for the FlexHA 5000. Very cool tech. I'm going to go from this right over to our podcast where we had Armin on. I actually get to see him at Automation Fair as well. And he's like, hey, I was on your show. I'm like, yes, I know. But in any case, we did a kind of like a real deep dive on this, on like the hardware, the construction, the terminal blocks, the connectors. Really learned a lot. If you're thinking about deploying this, this is definitely something you may want to check just to hear Armin go through everything about it. Seems like it's a very well-designed system. And with that, that was podcast 167. From there, we go over to some new literature from Rockwell on the optics panel. That's Factory Talk Optics. So this is the optics panel. It looks like the bulletin number is 2800C. So that's an installation guide. We also have a new installation guide on the ArmorPoint extension unit. So this allows you to extend your ArmorPoint bus. You know, I don't know how far it goes. 1 meter and 3 meter, I'm guessing. But in any case, we do have some of this. I got to get this set up. So as I'm filming the new courses, we can talk to all this I/O. Yeah, it was. EXT1 is 1 meter. EXT3 is 3 meters or 10 feet. So in any case, good information there. And then Point.io. Now, you don't see a lot of people using sync output modules. I think that's more common out over in Asia. But in any case, here you can see that they have new installation instructions on their Point.io protected sync output module. So like a OV2E and an OV4E. The E stands for electronically protected. Okay, with that, we come to our science topic of the day. And, you know, usually when I'm at IEEE Spectrum, you know, there's always lots of stories every day, right? And then when they do their robot videos, you know, typically I'm only drawn to one or two of them, but this episode, there was a lot in here. So we have the dog that it's a robot dog that is very good at getting back up. Even if you flip it upside down in confined spaces, it finds a way to get back up. Recommend that video. Also recommend this video. This is it's like a humanoid-based robot that's sitting at a table and it's picking stuff up and putting it. It's not perfect by any means, but it does a pretty good job of picking up objects and moving them around the table. So I thought it was very interesting. It's working two-handed. We also have, I'm just going to cover the ones I think are worthy, just my opinion. We have the Eve robot, which is trying to put groceries away. It's a little rough on the cabinetry and on the food, but hey, it's a work in progress, right? So I was thinking, like, what the first thing it picks up kind of looked like chips or cookies or something, and it kind of crushed it as it put it in. I'm like, ugh, it wasn't that bad. But and then we have this robotic leaf blower. So it's a robotic mower. I don't know, simple as a leaf blower. It's a robotic autonomous mower. And I'm thinking, I got 3 acres of grass. This isn't going to work because it stops at like sidewalks and it stops when it sees somebody in its way, like a dog or a person. But, you know, if I threw it out on my 3 acres, we get about, I don't know, 30, 40 acres in the neighborhood. It would try to mow it all. So, but in any case, I thought it was pretty cool, especially if you have fences to keep it in. And then this one I thought was good. So this is a company, I believe they're out in Finland, and they have these drones, they're wheeled drones that drive on the sidewalk to deliver groceries. So in the winter, they get stuck a lot, and people were just being super nice, helping the thing get unstuck. And so they actually added some voice feedback to thank people when they get it unstuck, which is nice. But they also talked about how they changed it to try to get through the snow, like snow tires, like raising up the robot, lifting up the middle wheels to try to get out of snow banks or get over, you know, small bumps. So very interesting. It is definitely would not survive a New England winter snowstorm, because they're showing it in like an inch or two of snow. You know, we're usually looking at half a foot to two or three feet. So when the snow comes. So, but in any case, I still enjoyed the video, and it's cool that they have little rovers going around delivering groceries. And then of course we had a couple of videos from Digit. We've covered Digit in the past. Not the fastest thing out there, but if you didn't need fast, you just needed something to move totes from a shelf to a conveyor, or from a conveyor to an AMR or whatever, this thing's pretty cool. It's really coming along, and I don't think it'll be too long before we see these humanoid robots actually doing work. And there's a lot more. I ran out of time to view them all, but in any case, definitely worth checking out. Again, you'll find all the links over at automate.news, no www, no .com. And with that, I just want to thank our sponsor, number one, placeholder, the Automation School. If you know anybody looking for PLC, HMI, or SCADA training, please mention theautomationschool.com to them. You can now purchase courses for somebody else. You can purchase a voucher that'll give somebody a no-cost entry into one of our courses. Also, theautomationblog.com, start looking for new mini articles like this one on Banner's new sensor coming on a regular basis. So we got Julius prepping them. We got Joseph going through and releasing them. And among other things, they're doing other things as well. And we're looking forward to, we were going to be meeting with a Arduino-based PLC manufacturer this morning. They decided to put it off until after the big trade show in Europe, Hanover Fair, I guess. But in any case, from there, I do want to remind you that you can join our community over at theautomationblog.com/community. Right now, we live over at automation.locals.com. You sign up for a small monthly pledge of one cup of coffee a month, and you can ask me anything. We're looking at options to build an even better community at theautomationblog.com. I'll keep you informed on that. If you do sign up at automation.locals.com, you will get a free coupon for the community at theautomationblog.com if we do go that way. So just wanted to pass that on. Of course, I want to thank everybody who picks up a copy of our ebooks and video collections. You guys are keeping us going. As we look for sponsors to cover our costs of producing the show. And with that, again, you can send in your news tips. You'll see at the top of the Automation Blog news tip or talk back. You'll see that automate.news, automate.news as well. And that's the end of the show. Man, I stuttered a lot. I'm sorry, guys. But, you know, I guess I'm trying to rush because I got that 9 o'clock meeting and I got so much to do before then. So in any case, it is 8:02. If you're watching this after the fact or live, I want to thank you for watching. If you have ideas or think I missed a new story, want me to cover a different render, let me know. Get in touch with me. And I just want to wish you all an awesome day. And remember, I do want to encourage you, no matter what happens, stay courageous and stay fearless, my friends. And until next time, peace.